The thought I'd like for us to look at today is trees of righteousness. Been noticing the last few days that our trees all around us are pretty much fully leafed out. We've had plenty of rain, and in the last 30 days or so, we went from a few trees that had some leaves to now we've got trees that could give a shade. At the time of year that we are, the leaves are very vibrant in color. Even these trees that's been sabotaged by the power company out here in front of the chapel, they look pretty nice, at least from the side we drove up on. The leaves is all out. But you know, sometimes in the summer when it gets a little drier and the heat's been on the trees, you know, sometimes the trees don't look quite as vibrant as they do like this morning. We've had rain and now some sunshine and these green trees and all, it's pretty sight. And I'm not a tree hugger, but I'm a tree lover. I know that there's a lot of trees around in our part of the world, and I'm very thankful for that. I like trees. In fact, one of the reasons that we bought the place that we did was because of trees. And one tree especially, right there on the north side of our house, there was more land available than we actually bought at the time. And I told my wife, I said, well, however we divide it up, I said, I want to make sure we own that tree right there. It's an oak tree, and I haven't measured it now for several years. But a few years ago, I hooked a tape measure in the bark, and I went all the way around the tree till I got to the tape measure again, and it was 16 feet 1 inches around that tree. Now, that's down at the, not at the very, you know, it's up 3 or 4 feet off of the ground. That's how big around that trunk was. That's a big tree. And down in our woods, there's some big, what's these, sycamore trees. We got some sycamore trees down there they're gigantic, but it's down along the creek. So, thinking about these big trees, and I'd like to explore these thoughts this morning. You know, over in the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus was in Nazareth, the city that he was raised in, or grew up as a young boy anyway. And he stood up in the synagogue there, and he read some scripture, and then he made a comment that really caused the people's minds to start thinking. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That's in Luke 4, verse 21. And the people didn't accept Christ's teaching. But Jesus made the statement that this passage of scripture was fulfilled in him, himself. All right. So I'd like to go back and read in the 61st chapter of Isaiah where he was reading from that day. Isaiah, we know, was a man that we call him one of the major prophets, and he prophesied during the time before the kingdom of Israel was divided into Israel and Judah. He didn't get to see many, if any, of his prophecies come to pass. But he prophesied a lot about the future calamities that would come to the nation of Israel. And he also prophesied about the hope that Israel could have and mankind could have in Christ that was coming. I'd like to start in 61 in verse 1. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now Jesus was reading this passage of Scripture, and he said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. And Jesus was saying, I'm the one that has come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm the one that has come to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to opening to the prison to them that are bound. The gospel age is here. That's what Jesus said. He said it's being fulfilled. What Isaiah wrote many, many years before is being fulfilled in my life. So notice here he said, those that, you know, when you take and change ashes for beauty and the oil of joy for mourning or sorrow and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that all sounds like the things we want, isn't it? I want good things. I would like every sorrowful situation that happens to me in life, I'd like for them to just be turned around where I could rejoice in them. Well, he said here, those that are experiencing those difficulties in life, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So a tree, of course, is a pretty formidable landmark. An old man that lived in the area when we moved where we do live now had told me that this big tree that is up there on the north side of my house, he said it was a big tree when I was a little boy. And I've just lived up here about a mile from here all my life. So I don't know how old this tree is. He was about 90 years old or past when he passed away, and it had been a big tree all his life. So this is an old tree. Do you know that trees grow every year? When trees put out green leaves, they grow a little bit. If the conditions is right, they may grow quite a bit. I can notice that the tree that's behind my house, right there kind of where we pull up our vehicles in the yard, has grown since we've been there in 13 years. But this big tree, I can't really tell you, unless I went out there and measured it with a tape measure again, I couldn't really tell you. It's just so big, it's hard to tell. Did it grow any or not? I can't tell if it's taller, I can't tell if it's bigger around, but this smaller tree, I can tell that it's went from a tree that was about this big around to now it's, I don't know, I think it's gained several inches in diameter in the last 13 years. Well, spiritually speaking, for us to be a tree of righteousness, we need to be able to put green leaves out, and we need to be able to grow a little every year. I'd like for us to grow a whole lot, but we need to stay alive so we can grow. All right? Many times through droughts and storms and other things that happen, trees are hindered in their growth. This big tree that I have has survived a house fire that was right next to it. There used to be a house close to it, and the house burned down, and there's one limb that has been severely damaged by that fire. But it hadn't killed the tree. It's still alive. That happened many years ago. I think probably 30 years ago or so, in my understanding. So, for us to be a tree of righteousness, I'd like for us to look at a verse in Jeremiah, Isaiah is first chronologically in time and before Jeremiah, and it's also just before the book of Jeremiah in the scripture that we have. Let's go to the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was another prophet, major prophet, that prophesied about the destruction and the overthrow of the Jewish nation. He lived after Israel and Judah was separated into two nations, and he prophesied, and he was so adamant about his prophecies that the king threw him in a pit and persecuted him. But Jeremiah was different than Isaiah in one respect, and that is he got to see a lot of his prophecy come true. He got to live to see Jerusalem carried off captive by the Babylonians. But I'd like to look here in chapter 17 and verse 7. He said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the green, when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now, so he says, this specific tree, a tree of righteousness, would be one that is a tree of the Lord, wouldn't you say? And he said here, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." He said, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." When you get up in an airplane and you're flying over some of our western states, if you're up there at 30, 40,000 feet, it's hard to tell exactly what the terrain is out there. But sometimes you fly over areas that look pretty uneventful. It's just kind of like brown out there. And you'll fly along and all of a sudden you'll notice some little wiggly line going along through the terrain down there, and you can pretty much come to the conclusions, whether you can see water or not, that that's some kind of little creek or riverbed, because there's trees along that, and there may not be a tree in sight anywhere else. There may not be anything green except right along that river. And this is something that he's talking about here. He's saying that this tree planted by the waters shall that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. It may be a desert all around. And folks, we live in an arid environment for spirituality in our world today. But I believe the Lord wants us to be trees of righteousness and put our roots down and spread our roots out to pull in isn't there a scripture that talks about the washing of the water by the word? It's talking about the words of Jesus. It's talking about the gospel word. It's talking about the scripture that we have. It's talking about the words that God will speak to us through the avenue of the Holy Spirit that will water and bless our souls. And he wants us to be like a tree. A tree of righteousness. He wants us to spread our roots. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be able to provide shade. He wants us to be in a place where people can point others to and say, "I don't know much about the terrain, but I know there has to be water down there because there's trees over there." All right? If there's someone is flying over, someone is passing by, it should be recognizable that there is trees where the water is. Okay? So, we're to put our trust and confidence in God. Not withdraw into ourselves and just depend on ourselves things like... We're talking about being individual trees of righteousness for God, but to be in harmony with God's Spirit. You know, if we're all drinking of the same water, which we should be, it ought to be, you know, the trees along the creek where I live, there's different trees. There's walnut trees, and there's sycamores, and there's hackberries, and there's oak, and there's not any pine trees unless somebody planted them, but there's several trees along that river, different varieties, but they all live together. They all provide shade and coverage. It's pretty dense right now because they're all leafed out. And in the early spring, the grass will grow up. But you know, it shades the ground so much that there are areas that there's not much grass on the ground. It's just really thin and sparse down there because it doesn't get much sunlight. And you can walk through there without having to wade the grass in the middle of summer just because of the shade. And you know, the Lord wants trees of righteousness to be thick enough that we can shade out some of the undergrowth that the enemy wants to put in our lives and put in our society. Can you imagine trees of righteousness that put an umbrella over the ground and over the atmosphere, over Sister Sheila's request prayer almost every service for our little neighborhood here? And trees of righteousness that would be able to shade, put some shade on the activities of the enemy, to where those things just start kind of shriveling up a little bit. You know, I believe trees have an influence and an impact on the world around us. And you know, that big tree that I have, when it gets the least bit dry in the summer, the grass doesn't grow very good under it. And it's just one tree. Just one tree. But if there was seven of them out there and their leaves, limbs were kind of touching one another, did you know there would be a big area of my yard that wouldn't have to be mowed? And the enemy likes to, I don't know, he's more like Bermuda grass, you know. He just likes to creep in and take over. And you know, if you get some shade going on, have you ever tried to grow Bermuda grass in the shade? Well, try it sometime. And you'll either have to give up on the Bermuda grass or cut the shade tree down, one of the two. Because Bermuda grass don't work very good in the shade. And I believe that the Lord wants us as individuals and collectively to shade out the works of the devil. You know, I don't like Bermuda grass in my garden. I don't like it in the flower beds, and it's tough to get rid of. But I'm going to tell you one of the ways to get rid of it, better than hoeing and pulling and all of that stuff, is just shade it out. Shade it out. Well, I'd like for us to look at a song in our book, number 218. He says here, the writer does, "In the shadow of the cross, let me hide. There the Savior for my sins bled and died. There the precious cleansing fount flows so free from Calvary's mount. In the shadow of the cross, let me hide." And you read every verse of this song, and he starts it out by "in the shadow of the cross." You know, the cross itself would not provide very much literal shade, but I'm going to tell you, a tree of righteousness can give substantial shade. In the heat of the battle, the heat of the conflict between right and wrong in our minds and in our hearts and in the world that we live in, we need some shade from trees of righteousness in our life. Our world needs it. And we must stay in the shadow of the cross to be able to prosper in our spiritual walk and in our growth. We've got a little tree that didn't bloom this year, a dogwood, but it did leaf out, right? And I'm looking forward to it blooming. But I think I finally figured out, some of y'all were probably smarter than me, but I think I finally figured out where you're supposed to plant a dogwood. Because a dogwood is such a pretty tree when it blooms in the spring, I want it out there where I can really see it. But I'm going to tell you, it don't work that way. If you want a dogwood to survive, I found out after all these years that you plant a dogwood in the shade of other trees. If you don't put a dogwood up there where it can kind of be shaded from the rest of the... I planted 3 or 4 dogwoods over there in Oklahoma, and I put them right out there in the sun because I wanted to see them. And they didn't survive. About one season, you know, they'd be leafed out and look pretty good. Next year, well, you know, they're dead. Well, I've got a dogwood now that's survived about a year and leafed out again. So I've got hopes that I'm doing the right thing with my dogwood. And, you know, I want to be in the shadow of the cross to where my tree will grow and add to the shade. I would like to see this shade of trees of righteousness grow in our community, in our neighborhood, to where the devil would just have to pack up and move on because he can't grow there. He can't prosper there. So, I'm thinking about a verse now in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, I'm sorry. Proverbs has got lots of wise things in it that's recorded for us, but notice here, beginning in verse 15 of chapter 24, he says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." There is something about Christianity that requires us not to gloat when sinful people have failure in their life. Did you know that? There is something about Christianity that reaches out in sympathy when people really deserve what they got coming. You know, there's some pretty distasteful characters in our society. There's people that you might say that just brought it on themselves. And maybe they did. Maybe their sinful activities and maybe the choices they made, anybody could have figured out that they're fixing to have some physical problems. You know, if you drive under the influence, if you do drugs long enough, there's going to be some things show up. And you know, the last thing that we ought to do as a Christian and endeavoring to be trees of righteousness would say, is go see them and say, "Well, I guess you knew this was coming." That's the last thing we ought to do. And I would just venture to say that when any of us have went to visit an old acquaintance that really sin had caught up with, I just would venture to say when we go to see them that we reach out in compassion to them and say, "I'm sorry that you're in trouble. Don't you know that God loves you? I'm here to try to help you. You know, don't you think it's time maybe that you ought to ask God to come into your heart and in your life?" That's the Christian thing to do. That's the thing we ought to do instead of going in and saying, "Well, we just come to see what the end result of living for the devil was all about." That's not how we operate. We don't operate that way. That's not the way a tree of righteousness would do. And he said here, "Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth." Don't do that. He said, "A just man falleth 7 times." You ever felt like a failure? I have. I fell right smack on my face. Literally sometimes, but I fell figuratively that way too. I just feel like there's no way I could have done this any more effectively than if I just dove head first right into the floor. You know, you just feel like your efforts and the things that you've tried to do just turned out absolutely wrong. You didn't have the right answer. You didn't have the right thing to do. It just panned out bad. And you know, here he says, the just man falleth seven times. But what happens? He riseth up again. But you know, in our efforts to be a tree of righteousness, and the Lord is going to help us now get back up. There's going to be some years of when we stand before the Lord, and I like to think about maybe seeing all those growth rings in our lives, and the being able to look at those growth rings in a tree when a log is cut down, and you're looking at those rings, and you see some of them that's so thin it's just almost undistinguishable whether it's really a ring or not, just maybe like paper thin. And you may see another one that's almost a quarter of an inch wide or something. And it's because it was going through some tough times. And those tough times are the times that we've messed up. We've made mistakes in our life. And maybe we said the wrong things. And maybe we didn't have the right answers. But I want to encourage you today, if you're in a place where you feel like you might say tripped yourself up. You've made a wrong decision and now you're having to live with some of the consequences or whatever. Don't stay down. Ask God to help you get up. We're in the business here of staying alive. We're in the business of putting on leaves. We're in the business of trying to shade out the enemy's territory and his advances. Even in a bad year, trees grow a little bit. It may not be very measurable, but they grow a little bit. And you know, when we come through a difficult time, many times there's a growth spurt after that. And that's the way I want it to be for us as trees of righteousness. We can't allow discouragements and setbacks and of everyday life to keep us from being a tree of righteousness. I'd like to think about our congregation here, in anywhere there's a congregation of people gathers together. I'd like for us to think about it from now on, not as one tree, but many trees. And being like trees that you would see around a body of water. Whether it's a river or a creek or a lake or a pond, or you know, you make yourself a pond in your pasture somewheres, and unless you have cattle grazing those pond banks, it's going to be tough to keep the trees from growing around your pond. But Lord, help us to get a vision of not just one tree representing a congregation, but many trees. It's not just one person. It's not just the tree that's the each one of us needs to be a tree of righteousness. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And really, we're going to talk more about the 11th chapter than we are the 12th, but the 12th chapter is where we'd like to start. Hebrews 12 and 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So the writer here, writing to people that knew about God, the Hebrews, that knew about his plan for mankind. He said, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the things that would hinder us. Let us go beyond the times that we have fallen and failed. Let us go beyond the things that the enemy would like to point to and said, see, I told you you couldn't do it. See, I told you that you had a character flaw or whatever it is that the enemy likes to pick on. The enemy has got something that he likes to agitate in every one of us. He wants you to feel self-conscious. He wants you to feel like a failure. He wants you to feel incapable. That's the devil's business. But he says, let us lay those things aside, and the things that would beset us, the things that would drag us down, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us endeavor to put out all the leaves we can, to spread out our limbs, so to speak, because I'm going to tell you, you know, going back to Bermuda grass, have you ever tried to get it out of your garden? You can dig that stuff up and shake the dirt off the roots and lay it out in the sun and let it get crunchy, and then rake it back off into some dirt, and that stuff will take off and grow again. I don't know how it happens, but I'm going to tell you, it is tough to dig it out and keep it out. Especially if it's a place where you can't spray it with Roundup or something like that, it's tough to keep it dug out. I remember, it's kind of like cancer. Once you disturb it, it just takes off. It's bad stuff, but you can shade it out. You can put some shade there, and it can't hold up to that. And he says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. This is the cross that the song was talking about, in the shadow of the cross. It's where he's going to abide. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, he endured contradiction. He endured weariness. And he endured it all. And the things that feel like are getting you down, Jesus experienced that too. But look at the tree of righteousness he is for us today. And he wants us to be a tree. Not just a little sapling somewheres, but he wants us to be a real tree. One that puts some shade on the ground. Alright? Now this first verse, he says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's he talking about? I believe he's talking about all of the names in the 11th chapter that have become trees of righteousness. And I won't get them all, not going to try to, but I'm just going to read you some of the names that's in the 11th chapter. Abel, Enoch. Enoch walked with God, the scripture said, and he was not. You remember that? Yes. He was a real tree of righteousness. He lived in some of the most corrupt times of history. You think we live in a bad time? Noah's time was every bit as bad as ours. And Enoch was just a generation or two before Noah. Just a few generations before. He's seen the world going downhill all around him. And yet he walked with God. He was a tree of righteousness. There was Noah. There's Abraham. There's Isaac. And Jacob. And Joseph. And Moses. And Gideon. And Barak. And David. And the list goes on. And it brings us down to the age that we live in. So I'd like to give you some names of those that have become trees of righteousness in my mind. My wife's grandparents, Albert and Margaret, they were trees of righteousness. There was Charles Taylor. He's a man that was true to God. He's a man that was born with his knees backwards. And the Lord healed that man. I remember seeing him walk just like I walk. He didn't walk with his feet backwards. The Lord, I don't know how that happened, but they said his knees bent the wrong way. I read something just recently about someone that was born that way, and they became a sideshow in a circus. People came to see her as a woman. Came to see her because they called her the camel woman. And she could, her legs bent the wrong way, and she could just go on her hands and knees, and her body was just a U. Well, Brother Charles didn't have to do that. He didn't become no sideshow. The Lord healed him. And the Lord, he followed the Lord. He became a tree of righteousness. Brother Leslie Busby, he's gone now. But he became a tree of righteousness. Brother Clifford Wilson became a tree of righteousness in my mind, in my life. Sister Karen LaCroix, a tree of righteousness, you see. I remember some of the conversations that I've had with her. And the steadfastness that she had, not just in her trust in God, but for her body, but her perception of God's ability to help souls in need. Brother Herschel Hargrave, many of y'all don't remember him, but I remember him preaching at Monarch. Powerful man when it came to preaching. Remember one time he was preaching, and he was a big man. Sometimes he used a lot of illustrations from playing football and stuff like that. And I remember he was going along building his thought one time, and then he told us he was going to shift gears. And did he ever? And the Lord blessed the message that night, and it really spoke to hearts. But this man was a man that lived, sold out for the Lord. And he became a tree of righteousness in my life. And you know, we can come down even closer. There are people today that are still alive and still with us that are trees of righteousness. And there's no reason that we can't become trees of righteousness too. There's lots of diseases out there that affect trees. And there's a lots of outside influences like not enough sunshine or maybe poor ground or poor nutrients and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, there's still trees, and there's still a need for trees of righteousness. And there's a need for every one of us to have a sincere desire to be a tree of righteousness. When we're gone, I want the Lord to be able, not the Lord, I want the people that come behind to find me faithful. I want them to be able to look on and say, I believe that they were a real tree of righteousness. I want to be like some of these that I've known personally. I want to be like the ones that I read about in the Scripture that came from the Old Testament time that was faithful to God. Folks, the only way that we're going to win in this world and in our communities is by being trees of righteousness. We're not going to be a winner by setting up an arsenal and trying to shoot down the enemy and his devices. We're going to win by being a tree of righteousness, of shading out the wrong, creating an environment where people feel self-conscious about unrighteous acts in our midst. That's how we're going to win. We're not going to win in the world we live in or any time by taking up some kind of crusade and getting on some kind of a battle plan. Oh yeah, we need to address wrong. I agree with that. But folks, we're going to have to be trees of righteousness. We can't be scrub brush. We can't be the undergrowth. We're going to have to become a tree of righteousness. And we're going to have to shade out the wrong. We're going to have to, you might say, take the heat from the sun. We're going to have to pull up the water of the Word. I think sometimes about a song we hear about the three Hebrew children. You know, they were trees of righteousness too. The song, I remember some of the words it says about the three Hebrew children. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Do you remember that? You ever heard that song? I'm not going to try to sing it for you, obviously, but I was thinking about, you know, we're talking about trees. And I thought, you know, what kind of parallel can I draw between a tree of righteousness and something that wouldn't burn? Well, have y'all ever cut down a sycamore tree and tried to burn it or split it? Well, we had one, the storm blew down, and heating the house with wood and that outdoor furnace, I don't care what's thrown in there as long as it'll burn. I don't have to have seasoned oak or anything like that, you know, for me. So I told the boys, well, let's just cut that up and burn it. Well, we cut it in sections and tried to, I mean, big round chunks of that log and trying to split that stuff. You go down there, no log splitter just stalls out. It won't split it. And when it's squeezing on that, water is running out of it. And I thought, there's my answer right there. You know, when we're full of the Word, we ain't going to burn. You know, I couldn't burn any of that sycamore the first year. It laid out there in the woods. And the next year, though, it had dried out enough I could split it. And I burnt the stuff second and third year. But you know, if we're full of the Word, the devil's not going to be able to burn us up. We're going to be able to resist that. But we're going to have to be willing to be a tree. And we're going to have to be willing to be planted by the waters. And we're going to have to be willing to soak up that thing. We're going to have to be willing to be a shade. And shade out the evil, the wrong, the all of the malice and the anger and all of that. We're going to have to shade it out. We're not going to win any other way. Sometimes I've kind of wished I could arm wrestle with the devil or something like that. Maybe try to put him in his spot. I'm going to tell you, that would not be successful. Even if you could arm wrestle the devil and beat him, as soon as you turn loose, he'd be right back to the same old stuff. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll create a shade to where he don't like, It's going to stamp it out. That's the only way it's going to work. So I desire your prayers. I want to be a tree of righteousness. But I don't want to be the only one. I want every one of us here to be a tree of righteousness. I would like for our neighborhood, just here, but not just our neighborhood in this little town, but the neighborhood across the world, to be able to look and say and know that there's water over there, the Word is over there, because there's trees growing over there. You pray for me.